Hi, this is Jacob Scher. Welcome to the Job Mob Podcast. So welcome to another interview with an expert here on Job Mob. Today we're talking with Rabbi Itamar Ginsberg. Thank you for coming online with us today, Rabbi Ginsberg. Or do you prefer Rabbi Itamar?
Either one is fine.
Okay, great. And so according to his website, Rabbi Itamar has been voted Inc. Magazine's Entrepreneur of the Year, pretty amazing distinction. And he's been featured in numerous prestigious media, including the Associated Press, Entrepreneur Magazine, MSN, Fox Business, the New York Times, and more. One of the things that Rabbi Itamar is known for is international business consulting, and that's what brought us him today. We're going to talk about what kinds of great ideas that Rabbi Itamar has for job seekers and employers on the other side of the table in terms of taking a leap forward and really getting results very, 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 very quickly. So again, thanks again for coming on the call today.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.
So great. So let's get started right away and jump right into some practical advice. What's one of the first things What's one of the first problems that you typically have to deal with when you're talking with a client? And how do you think that can relate to either job seekers or to employers?
Okay. The first problem is going to be as soon as you meet somebody, whether it's as a potential employee or in business, is you want that person to like you. Because we like to do business with people that we know and people that we like. And therefore, that's immediately what's going to happen is when you actually sit down and meet that person, is there going to be that chemistry there that's going to make something happen over here. Now, I'm basically going to target, obviously, everything I'm saying to job seekers, although obviously if a job seeker thinks about this, they'll see that this information will be very powerful and very useful to them after they get a job as well as now. First point to know is you have to build rapport with the person you're speaking to. If you're going to get a job and you know, for example, that you're going to be meeting Mr. So-and-so, then what you want to do is you want to, first of all, go online, go to that person's LinkedIn account, see if their LinkedIn account has their Twitter feed, see if their Facebook account is open to the public, and see what they like, see what their interests are, see what you can find out about them before you meet them. And again, this was very hard to do unless you knew somebody in the company before today's days of easy, you know, connectivity to the internet and all this powerful information. But right now, with all that information that's just there for the taking, it's literally a crime not to do some basic online research on the person you're going to be meeting to make sure that you know what they like, what they're about, what they can't stand, because that will help you get the job.
And so LinkedIn, all right, that's a great source. Do you know of any other sources that are pretty good for targeting?
Well, for example, on LinkedIn, it's not just about what they do, because, for example, they might be a member of a group called the Fencing Club, which means they like fencing, which now is a whole new area that you have something to talk about outside of what you can do or can't do or what the company is about. It's about getting a full picture of the individual, not just the basics of what they do. For example, if you can see that they have, you can see some of their other connections, you can see they've been recommended as somebody from a certain, you can basically get a much broader picture of who this person is as a person, not just as their job description. In addition to LinkedIn, obviously, you have Facebook. Facebook, when people click on their different likes, their different activities, different movies they like, or whatever that is, that again gives a lot of very powerful information to you that you can use. And in addition, just to jump off this point, you can actually set up a Facebook, I don't know, Jacob, if you ever covered this in depth in a different interview, but you can basically set up a Facebook ad campaign which specifically targets the people that you're trying. You can basically get a job by putting sort of a classified ad on Facebook. I, for example, once wanted to be mentioned by the Wall Street Journal, and what I did was I created an ad campaign that had a total number of possible visitors, meaning to say the people that I said, I only want this ad to be seen by people that work for the Wall Street Journal and that live in New York or New Jersey or California. And basically, by the time I was done, I had a total of about 32 people that could possibly see my ad. But when that ad got one click, I was happy with the success of my campaign because for $2-3, I actually made sure that the page that I wanted to show them was seen by somebody in that target group. So that's a very powerful technique that can be used by job seekers as well.
Okay, so that's actually really, really cool. So you're saying a Facebook ad campaign that is super, super targeted to the one person or the couple of people at a certain company that are really the ones that you need to talk to or you're hoping to get an interview from, for example.
Correct. So now you cannot do a campaign with one, as far as I know, with one specific person. You need to have at least 20, 30. But again, if you're looking for a job in a specific industry, then if someone else also meets those criteria and they're still one of those 20, 30 people or 50 people, whatever it is, that is still something extremely powerful. The way to target that best when you can is if you know the person you're going to meet has, besides the fact that they work for the New York Times company and they live in Florida, if you also know that they like electric cars, and then in the Facebook, you know, campaign, you say, I only want this ad to be seen by people that work for this company and that have an interest in electric cars, you are so laser targeted on these people, on this particular person you want to see, that, I mean, in your Facebook ad campaign, for example, you can see that your ad was seen by the average person 7 times. So that before they clicked, or even if they haven't clicked. Basically, since on Facebook you sometimes see the same ad again and again, Facebook will let you see how many times your ad was seen. Am I being clear enough?
Oh, absolutely. No, keep going.
Okay, so therefore, when you know that your ad, whether it has gotten clicks, hasn't gotten clicks, got one click, but had the average person has seen it 7 or 8 times of those 30 people, it means that you have been seen, even if it hasn't cost you a penny, you have been seen in front of your target market several times, which whether they do meet you or just know about you, you've definitely increased your chances of getting a good job.
Okay, and so yeah, so the target market here, just for the people who aren't familiar with all the marketing speak, so that's the employer that you're hoping to be hired by, or the hiring recruiters, etc.
Correct.
Okay, very cool. So LinkedIn and Facebook, awesome. So basically you're saying use social media as much as possible to learn about, to do the targeting, to learn about who you're hoping to apply to, and come to them best prepared.
Correct.
Fair enough.
But the same thing, okay. Same thing is also true with Twitter, though. But if you can get, whether it's publicly available or even sometimes when it's not, simply because people listed on their LinkedIn profile, they link their personal Twitter feed, basically you can go to Twitter and you can interact with your potential employer in a very helpful, positive way that instead of you applying to them, basically, this person sort of on their own, even though you've sort of set it up, will decide that you'd make a great employee for them if you set up your account properly for that, and your tweets both to them and to other people are intelligent and not typed when you're drunk, you can actually have them approach you, which gives you a much stronger position to get the job that you want.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So we're covering the majors: LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. Very cool. Do you have any other tips that kind of go beyond those big boys, I guess you could say, that can really help get you to the person that you're looking to get to?
Okay. Another tip for that would be, which is not exactly the same, but it's sort of similar, is, for example, on Amazon.com, okay, you can, and by the way, we didn't discuss, let's say, on LinkedIn, there's groups, besides actual people. You can go to specific groups and use those groups for targeting tremendously well. Mm-hmm. There's a technique called the straw man technique, which basically is, in a nutshell, that when you want to ask somebody a question, you don't ask them, you ask some third person. For example, if you would put in an ad in the newspaper saying, "Are you fat? ? Call Dr. So-and-so, you know, lose weight," then many people would be offended at this ad. "Excuse me, who are you to call me fat? Who are you? This is an intrusive ad." But if I say, "Do you know someone who'd like to lose weight?" and then I have the same ad, the rest of the ad the exact same, what happens is that the people that are heavy themselves won't feel violated, that their personal space was violated by the fact that they saw this ad, and they themselves will reach out and call.
Okay, so instead of saying, "Are you unemployed?" You would say to someone, "Are you looking for a certain kind of job or something?" I mean, that's more of a, from the recruiter's side of point of view.
Correct, but I'm saying as far as the potential employee side of view, you can actually try to get a job, but don't say, "Do you know of a job available? Do you know of a job in this industry?" What you do is you say, "You know, do you know of someone looking to hire?" Just by using those few words in middle, basically everybody wants to buy from someone successful. If you go to a doctor and they say, "Okay, we have all day Wednesday available, there's no appointments, when do you want to come?" that tells you that's not such a good doctor. You want to go to a doctor who says, "Well, we have no appointments for the next 4 months, but we did have one cancellation, so next Wednesday at 2 o'clock, if you can make it then, We did have a cancellation 5 minutes ago because people like to deal with people that are busy. People like to deal with people that seem successful. If you're desperate and you're out there saying, I need a job, I'm hungry, I need a job, I need a job, that's not going to work very well in getting you a job. It's not going to work very well at getting you at your positioning being someone that can really make things happen. If you want to do that, you want to use something like the Strawman technique, which is using a much more elegant version of saying, I need a job, then I need a job.
Okay, so let's try to put these things together a bit. So let's say you mentioned using a Facebook campaign, all right, and now you're saying the Strawman technique. How could we combine the two to really get a good result here?
Okay, let's separate the groups of employers into two. Employers that are looking to hire and you want to be hired, and employees that are not looking to hire, but when somebody great comes around, even though they're not officially looking, they'll hire. Because those two types of groups are totally different. Even let me share with your audience a very powerful example, which is the Harvard Business Review once did a study about milkshakes, or malteds, depending where you're from, or if you like to call them something. And basically what they did was, there was a company that was trying to sell, or a restaurant that was trying to sell more malteds. And what happened was that all the different, they tried different sales, they tried different campaigns, and they weren't really selling more malteds. So what they did was, they had researchers come in the morning into each store, and they had them write down on a pad of paper every single thing that they could figure out about a person that would walk in the door for a malted. So for example, if a man came in 8 o'clock in the morning dressed, you know, dressed with a fancy suit and tie, they wrote down, businessman, came in 8:03, or bought a malted and left. If a person came to the drive-thru window, they wrote, person came, drive-thru window, looked like he was in his 50s. And essentially, you know, mom came with two children, sat in 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and essentially they went through each person that came with a malted, and then at the end of the day, they wanted to see what data they had gathered, what they can do with this. And what they found out was the following. Even though, to me and to you, a milkshake in a restaurant is just a milkshake in a restaurant, to the actual audience, it's two separate products. There are business people that are going to work in the morning, and they're in a rush, they have a long commute ahead of them, and for the next 50 minutes that they're going to be sitting in their car, they can't buy a bagel with cream cheese because they don't want to get cream cheese on their steering wheel, and they don't want to get their suit dirty, and they won't be able to do whatever they are supposed to be doing at work. At the same time, a mommy coming in the afternoon with her two kids into the store doesn't really... Their goal in buying the milkshake is the kids are saying, Mom, I want a milkshake. And the mother just wants a few minutes of peace and quiet from the kids, so she gets the kids a milkshake to keep them quiet.
Okay.
When you look at a milkshake as one item, no matter what promotion you try to make to sell more milkshakes, it's not going to work well because your audience, again, as we just discussed, is really two different audiences. But when you start thinking about it, even though it's one physical product, it's actually two separate products, then what they did was the following. For the business people in the morning, they added milkshakes with, for example, you can get with chocolate chips, you can get with blueberries, you can get with raspberries. And what they did was they essentially created more versions of the milkshake, because the reason why those people were buying a milkshake and not buying a coffee is because a coffee is going to last you 10 minutes and the milkshake will last you all the way to work. Okay?
So they basically wanted a breakfast on the go.
Correct. A breakfast on the go that wouldn't be messy.
Right.
But
okay.
But at the same time, then another thing they did for the business people was they put at the drive-through window a malted machine right there so people could just come and get it at the window. The guy who took the order wouldn't have to go make one. It would just be ready at the window. And then they did a campaign. Then they also added, when you buy 10, you get one free. Because the guy who buys it every morning is very happy to have another reason to go here over someplace else, because he's going to get a free one after every 10 malteds that he gets.
Okay.
For the mother that were coming in the afternoon with the kids, they added something totally different. Get a free toy with your malted for the kid, get a free health salad or health salad for only 99 cents for the mother. So essentially they split the same item into two separate items, two separate audiences, and did something specific for each audience, which increased sales tremendously.
Okay. So now bring us back here to the...
Excellent. The job searching and all that. Fine. When somebody is looking, when there's a company looking to hire, then you have to realize this company has an ad out, let's say, in the paper. They have their... people looking for jobs, and they're getting tons of resumes. Your job is here to outshine all the other people looking for this job, because that is how you're going to angle to get yourself into this company. That's one group. The other group is they're not getting resumes because they're not looking to hire. They're officially, You can't get a job there, you know what I mean? Because they're just not right now looking to employ anybody. But if you want to work for that company, and this company does video games, and you have skills in that area, and this is something you want to do, this is your dream job, then the targeting you're going to take to that company is something totally different. You're going to make sure to be seen by the company staff. You're going to make sure that they find you. For example, if you can put an ad or you can put an article in a trade publication that the staff of that company, the C-level staff, is reading, you have a very good chance of them interacting with you, because even though the article is written for the world at large, your real goal, and it's actually threaded through what you write, is that you're positioning yourself for this company to notice you. And if they don't notice you, you can always then reach out to them saying, hi, I'm the guy who wrote the article, and so on. It gives you, again, a way in the door. But essentially, since they're not looking, they're not getting tons of resumes, your goal here is to have them find you. Your goal here is to be seen in one manner, and the goal in looking for a job is sort of having the best possible resume, the best possible resources, testimonials, recommendations, and so on that'll get you in the door.
Okay, so now you're talking about personal branding. So this is really doing what you can to be impressive, to be memorable, right? To attract.
Correct.
Okay.
So
keep
so,
going.
Okay, so let's say we're talking about headhunt, people looking for a job with lots of applications coming in. Okay. Mm-hmm. Open hiring. So in that case, what you want to do is you want to get as many. I'll give you an example. There's a website which I'll give you. You can share it on your site. There's a website which has lists of courses that are either free or very low cost. And these courses will allow you to get certifications in different areas. Now, for example, not always do these certifications have to be in your particular field, because just like many fields that don't require a college degree will ask for a candidate or prefer a candidate with a college degree or a master's instead of a bachelor's, because it shows something about the person that they're interested in learning and they're interested in personal development and professional development, which means they're a better candidate. The same thing is true here, which is that if you, for example, have a certificate in first aid, or if this is, just to give a low-level example, if someone works in a McDonald's, okay, then essentially if you come and you have a certificate in food handling, which is something much more than every other guy who's applying for this job, you have a much better chance of getting the job, because you already have skills that you've shown as relevant. You've shown that you've done work on your own, which are relevant, you know what I mean? Basically, you can say
it's extra value.
There's extra value added, 100%. That extra value could be a first aid course. That extra value could be pretty much anything. There's an institute funded by the United States government called the United States Institute of Peace, which has free courses. And not only do they give free courses, but when you finish, they actually send you in the mail a physical certificate, a beautiful physical certificate saying that you graduated that course. And when you're looking for a job and you have a certificate that you completed a course by the U.S. Institute of Peace, and it's a really nice certificate, that does a lot for you.
That's cool.
Okay. The next thing, for example, is to just jump away from this, is when you get letters of recommendation, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not just about letters of recommendation. It's actually realizing which letters of recommendation from who. It's not always about, how prestigious the person is. If this is another way, going back to LinkedIn, if you realize that you know someone that this person knows, or you can get a recommendation from somebody who this person... For example, if this is a person you're going for a job interview, went to a certain college, okay?
Okay.
And you can get a recommendation from somebody that attended that college, different year, makes no difference, that will resonate with that person more than another recommendation.
Right, because they recognize the source.
Right. And they have sort of this good feeling that, I went to the same college as that guy, so we're buddies, even if we're...
Right, there's a connection. I got it. Okay.
So you want to basically do as many levels. You want to attach yourself in as many levels as possible to make it appealing to the person who's going to be seeing your resume.
So it's really about, again, targeting, like really trying to get to know as well as possible the person that you're going after, or that group of people.
Correct.
Connect with them.
Correct.
Okay.
But even better, if you can't do that, or in addition to doing that, if you're dealing with a headhunter and you know that you can find out something about this headhunter that you have some in with, then even though ultimately it's not the employer, the headhunter is going to put you on a higher level as a more preferred candidate, let's call it, than somebody else.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So yeah, so it's not only about the actual employer. It's anybody along the route, I guess, that can help you get the job. They're worth targeting as well.
Correct. So an advanced way of doing this, if the job was worth it, you know, and if someone's driven enough, is you can actually do something for free. So for example, if this person went to Yale, okay, and you know someone that went to Yale or on LinkedIn, you're connected to something to do with that same university, you could actually do some volunteer work for them, you know, some sort of small project or whatever, so that then they would know you and they would recommend you, and you could do that even if you're only doing it in order to have this particular recommendation for this particular job.
Okay, so wait, just to be clear. So let's say you're talking about a headhunter who, let's say, went to Yale, and then you're saying help that headhunter or you help someone else who went to Yale
No,
who might.
okay. You never should, I shouldn't say never, but try to not or never help the person who you want to hire you for free. Because it's a very, very bad message that you're sending. If you're willing to work for free, why should I pay you? And if you're willing to work for free, it means you're not busy, you can't do much. That's not what you want to do. You want to help somebody else, whether it's somebody else who went to the same college, university as a headhunter, or whether it's somebody even better who's has something to do with the company you're working for. Okay?
So a third party.
Or if it has to be a third party, not that person.
Got it.
That third party recommendation doesn't say they did work for me on a project for free. Because the recommendation never says that. It just says you're a hard, diligent worker, and you've done what you're supposed to do, and your word is good as gold, and you're punctual, and you're skilled at X, Y, and Z.
Okay, now I got you. I mean, this reminds me of an article I once blogged. You're basically looking for a vouch. You want someone to vouch for you. And so by getting this third party who's connected to the person that you're ultimately after, it amplifies the credibility of the of yourself. I mean, this person is going to say, "Oh yeah, they helped me so much," and because the headhunter recognizes that third party, then it's much more believable.
Correct, exactly.
Okay, cool. Interesting, interesting. Little bit of engineering. Okay, cool. All right, and so, go on. Sorry, I didn't
Okay.
mean to cut you off.
I'm sort of segueing to something else, but if you have anything to, okay, I'll just segue into the next thing, which is you have a lot of things. I'm talking now to the people who are listening to this podcast. You've done a lot of things that you don't even realize are valuable. Okay? And what you want to do is you want to take a piece of paper and you want to write down. If you know how to mind map, you could do it in mind map version. If not, you could just start writing. You could just start writing at random like a madman. And essentially, you'll realize there are many things you've done in your life that you didn't think about in terms of your job. For example, when you were a teenager, did you visit different countries? Did you? What did you do? What did you do during your summers? Did you play a musical instrument? There are many different things you've done that you've never looked at through the prism of job, or what does this have anything to do with what I'm doing now? But many times it does very much. For example, when I was a teenager, I went to Russia for 3 weeks and I taught children how to read Hebrew. And I didn't think about it much, but fairly recently I was talking to somebody and it came up that, oh yeah, I speak a little Russian. Why? I was in Russia for 3 weeks. I taught kids. Oh, really? So suddenly there was a whole nother thing which to the person I was speaking to, they found fascinating that I've taught in a foreign country. I taught kids that didn't speak, I mean, I don't speak Russian. So therefore, I was only teaching them in a language that neither of us spoke because they didn't speak any Hebrew or English and I didn't speak any Russian. But basically, there's tons of different things that you've done in your life that you can use for leverage in getting a job that you wouldn't think about.
Okay, that's interesting because there's actually a common problem with especially with students and people who are just who recently graduated, that when they're writing their first resume, they don't really know what to put on it, and so they'll put all sorts of things, but they might throw things that don't seem to have a connection to the job, and so I guess the problem is really that they're not I don't want to use the word spin, but they're not really describing what they did in the proper light. And so it seems like it's unrelated, but there might be a way of making it relevant, is what you're saying.
Correct. And even if you speak a language, it has nothing to do with the job. You speak Portuguese. Ultimately, at the end of the day, just like a master's or a BA we discussed earlier, it means that you're somebody who's not run of the mill. It means you're someone who can multitask, whose brain works better than other people's, and it gives your resume that much more of a glance.
Cool. Okay, so yeah, keep going as usual. You're just
Okay.
riffing.
Just because you don't have a job doesn't mean you shouldn't have a business card.
All right, so wait, a business card? I mean, for job seekers too?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Every person meets people all the time, and I mean, just not to have a business card because you're sort of waiting for a job, and that job is what's going to print you the cards and give you a card logo. You can have, and even, I mean, I tell people this that even have jobs, especially since they people that have day jobs, if they have any entrepreneurial dream at all, want to be doing something else as well, because once 501 comes, they want to have some other thing to do, which they can make money on the side. But you should have a personal card with your message, with what you do. Especially since sometimes you meet someone and you want to give them your card, but you don't want them to have anything, which has nothing to do with your business, but you just want to give them a way to reach you on a personal level. You should be having a card. And what I want to do now is talk about what that card should be like, whether you're in business or, and this is going to be especially valuable for employers as well. But,
okay.
But essentially, every person should have a business card or a personal card, a visit card, whatever term you want to give it. So here's some tricks and techniques you can use to have a card that's valuable and that will be kept. Number one is, if you're comfortable with it, or even if you're only slightly uncomfortable with it, put your picture on your business card. If you don't want to put your picture on the business card, put a picture on the business card. And the reason is because people don't throw out pictures. So therefore, by having a picture there, it makes your card more likely to be kept, less likely to be thrown out. I challenge every person listening to this podcast to take out their wallet and see the business cards they have in their wallet now. I'm willing to venture a good guess that most of the cards you have in your wallet now have something written in them with a pen.
Okay.
You go to the bank, and the banker gives you a card, and then they write on the card, if you ever want to reach me directly, my extension is 372. That card you're going to keep, even though it may not have any real value on it, because you already know the bank's number and you never really call the bank on the phone, because there was something written in pen, meaning personalized, special for you on that card, you're going to keep that card. If whenever you give someone your business card, you always want to take that opportunity to write something on it in pen.
Okay, so carry a pen too.
Definitely carry a pen too, definitely. By the way, just as an aside, many times companies give out, and this is going to be helpful to the employers listening, they give out like these cubes of paper, like sort of a huge pack of Post-it notes.
Yeah, like a pad, yeah.
And it's like a cube. And on the side of it, they have their logo with their name and number on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you get these companies giving out pencils the same way. And what they do is they put the logo of the company, and they put on top of the logo of the company, they put their phone number and their website, and they have the big company logo. The problem is that as the pad gets used, the first thing that disappears is your company name and your website and your phone number, and the only thing left in the last two-thirds of the pad is part of your logo.
Right, you're saying like down the side of the pad.
Correct.
Yeah.
So what you would want to do, for example, in that case, or on a pencil, as you sharpen the pencil, like in the diamond industry, pencils are given out all the time because everyone's using pencils to fill in how much they're going to be paying for diamonds. What happens is the first thing that gets shown off is the guy's phone number. You have the guy's name, but you have no way to reach him. So just always think about that from the opposite side, which is put your stuff on the bottom, put your stuff in the place that's going to be seen last, not the stuff seen first.
Ah, interesting. That's counterintuitive a little bit.
Now,
okay.
Let's take that back to job searching. For example, when a job comes out online, many people immediately go and hit submit to try to get their resume in. There's two tips to know about that, and I hope that none of the employers are going to be too mad at this, but, you know, we'll take it as it comes.
Give us the secret. Yes, go.
One is, don't try to be in the middle of the pile because you're just in the middle of the pile. If you're by the bottom of the pile, meaning if you come in last, just like the trams they used to have that take you to the airplane. From the airport, you get on one of these little buses and it takes you to the airplane.
Yeah, like a shuttle.
If you get on last, then you get off first. You get on the plane first. If you get onto the tram, if you get onto the shuttle immediately, then you get pushed in. And when you get to the airplane, you got to wait for all those people to get off.
Right. Okay, last in, first out. That's the term.
Exactly,
yeah.
Last in, first out. Which means that you want to do is you want to send your resume either at be one of the first ones or you want to be one of the last ones so that you're not lost in the shuffle.
Right, okay.
Another way to do that is, and this has to be done very carefully and strategically, is to send something twice but for a reason. So, for example, you could send your resume once and then send the resume again. And you know, again, this isn't the job search thing. It has to be done carefully. I'm not trying to just give a, you know, a bulldozer over here and have people going nuts with this, but essentially you'd send it once and then you'd send it again either with a change or with an additional letter of recommendation but essentially if you send something twice, then essentially you have two tickets in the bingo, you have two balls in the bingo ball in the bingo.
Right. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely not a standard tip, but that's an interesting tactic to try is to give them more and more messages. But would you want to go more than twice? I mean, you don't want to be a spammer.
Right. Because as soon as you do too many, oh, we don't want this guy, right?
Right.
But twice, right. When there's a good reason for it, it's not just you sent it twice, you know, for no reason. For example, I do this many times when I get publicity in different publications and stuff. So sometimes I'll send my quote about something. and then I'll send a link to the writer with an interesting article on that topic that they may not have seen, which will be helpful to them. But what I've really done, in addition to giving them additional value, is gotten my name in there twice, which means that they have double the chance of them getting back to me.
Right. And of being just being seen.
Correct. Yeah. And if any of you guys listening to this actually does that, I'm going to come personally out. I'm kidding.
Right. Okay. So, but you're basically saying, though, in just more generally, is it's worth following up.
Definitely. But whenever you follow up, deliver additional value. Don't just follow up, say, hi, I'm calling to find out if you saw my resume. That's terrible.
Okay. So yeah, so you have to come up with a reason to be calling again. You really to justify it in their eyes that it's not just an extra way of finding out where the resume went the first time. No, you want to be showing them, yes, I'm bringing you even more value, and it's just through a simple follow-up that I'm giving you more value.
Correct. Another technique that's very powerful is not being scared to recommend somebody else.
Go on. A little detail, okay, yeah.
So for example, that would mean that, for example, on my website, you know, my website's isamar.com, my first name, ISSAMAR.com. If you go look at my page where I talk about consultations, I say somewhere over there, basically, if you think I'm too expensive or you're too scared to use me because I don't look like your average guy, click here. And when you click there, it takes you to Google to a search result for the words business consultants. And basically, I'm showing you I'm not scared that you might go somewhere else. If I speak to a person and they haven't gotten back to me or whatever, then I would say, you know, I could basically email them saying, if, you know, I don't know if you've seen my resume or not, but if you've seen it and you feel that I'm not the best qualified for the job, I do have somebody to recommend you. You can essentially show them that you're not desperate and you're not scared of them and right. You have additional value to offer.
It's be confident, basically. It's have self-confidence.
Correct.
Yeah. And then that's also a classic problem for a lot of job seekers is that they get into a point where maybe if the job seekers search has been going on for too long, and so they start to feel desperate that they need to take the first thing that comes along.
Okay, so here's some tips for them. Number one is when you're making phone calls to follow up on resumes, for example, you want to be standing, not sitting.
Okay, so I'll stand up.
You'll stand up, and the next term you got to know is smile while you dial.
Oh, smile. That's cute. Okay, go
smile
on.
While you dial, it's not mine. I gave a seminar, and at one of my seminars, somebody gave me this, I don't know where it's from, but someone gave me this term. Smile while you dial, because people can hear a smile over the telephone. Your voice is different. You sound, I mean, as everybody in listening knows, I'm smiling right now because I'm always smiling.
Right.
And essentially, when you smile, people can hear it, and people appreciate it, and people feel upbeat. It's very hard. It's much easier to tell a guy no when he sounds like he's drooping and having a bad day than when he's upbeat and confident, which comes from a smile. So you want to, number one, you want to stand. Number two, you want to smile. And number three, you want to prepare what you're going to say before you call.
Okay. So this is, I mean, have an idea of what you're going to say.
There's a book which I recommend called Life Script. You don't even need to buy it, really. You just go on Amazon.com and look at a couple of pages in the you know, preview. You'll see if it's relevant to you or not. But essentially, it's not about the whole conversation being scripted, read like a drone or like a telemarketer. But it's essentially the introduction and what you're going to close with is sort of prescripted, so you don't just sound vague. For example, so you don't close with saying, okay, so you don't start by saying, I was wondering if you saw my resume, because you're wondering, so what does that go with me? If you'd if I would call up, I would say, hi, am I speaking? Now this is another a technique that's very powerful as well, which is when a lawyer tries to get a hostile witness, meaning the person on the witness stand, they know doesn't want to essentially answer their questions because it is, a witness for the, basically, it's the prosecutor, let's say, and this is the defendant's brother on the stand. So they know the person is not going to be that interested in being helpful to them.
Right.
So what the lawyer will do is he'll ask several what's called baseline questions. And the baseline questions are questions he already knows the answers to, but it's just to get a conversation started that's positive. So for example, please state your name for the record. Okay, the guy says his name. We're not getting into, I don't want any people emailing me that legally this is not so, because I understand you can't lead a witness. But for example, do you live in California? I understand you live in California. Is that correct? Yes. Do you have a blue? Does the license plate KXG123 mean anything to you? Yes. What does it mean? It's my car. Okay. Is it a Toyota? Yes. Essentially, ask a bunch of questions. The answers are yes. Then when you get to a question that the person really, really does not want to answer yes to, they're pulled more towards answering yes than they were before if you would have asked the first question out of the gate. Because the yes, 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 yes has made them like, it's not going to make them
answer. It's kind of momentum.
Right. It's momentum, and it's also that feeling of, I lost the word now, but essentially it's also the fact that once it's the momentum, and it's also a certain positive, it's going well.
Vibe.
It's a positive vibe, it's going well, and it's suddenly to say no is like abrupt and whatever. So even if you don't get a yes to that question, your answer may be more what you like than if they were on the bat being hostile and, you know, waiting to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is when you call up, you want to be positive. You don't want the first thing to be, hi, my name is so-and-so. You know, you've never... You want to see what you can do to get a yes. Hi. And by the way, the technique I mentioned earlier works magic in this situation as well, which is if you're speaking to the person answering the phone, you know her name is Susan. You know that she's the person in charge of, you know, she's the person in charge of hiring. You say, hi, my name is so-and-so. I'm looking for the person in charge of hiring. Would you be able to, you know, to tell me who that is? And let her say, hi, yes, that would be me. I'm Susan. Hi, Susan. So now what you've done is, you've sort of nixed the whole idea that she's going to be hostile to you because she decided on her own to be helpful to you.
Okay.
In Israel, they have these lottery booths on the street, which is like this little, I don't know, it's like a little telephone booth sort of, where the guy inside sells lottery tickets.
Yeah, it's a stand.
A stand. So now, a lot of these guys get very annoyed because people treat them like information booths. If you ask a guy, excuse me, where is 49 Main Street? The guy will tell you, well, what am I? I'm information booth. So when you want to get information from a guy like that, what you do is you walk over to the guy and you say, hi, you're not an information booth, right? And the guy says, yes. I'm really sorry to bother you. Would you mind telling me where 123 Main Street is? The guy is not going to say, I'm not an information center, because you've been nice to him. You've addressed his first concern, which is, and his first annoyance and pet peeve, which is he goes home every day telling his wife how many people to ask him for information and he can't stand it anymore. And once you've done that, you're going to have a much better conversation.
Okay, cool. That's so funny. Right. Okay, so if you're calling up the hiring people, again, you have to have done a little bit of research first to know who you're hoping to talk to. And you're basically saying be prepared even on another level, which is just the actual call itself. It's just get it started off on the right foot so you can build momentum and hopefully get the answers that you're looking for. And whether it's to find out what actually happened to your resume, did they even get it or not, and so forth.
But instead of starting the job search there, the job search really should be starting by a person writing themselves up a list. If I could work for any company, what would be my dream job? Where would I want to be? What would I want to do? Okay? And once you have this list, you can actually use social media, whether it's Facebook advertising, whether it's LinkedIn groups, questions, answers, LinkedIn answers, whatever, you know, whatever. You can basically start with your goal in mind, your goal in front of you. If you would really want to work for Sony Pictures, and therefore you have to speak to so-and-so, and then you can actually target everything you're doing to get you there.
Right.
For example, you may find that when you type in... Okay, here's a totally separate technique, but extremely, extremely powerful. You have this person, you know, that works for Sony. You know that this person would be the right person to talk to if you want to get a job there. You go to Facebook, you type in their name. Okay? Now, obviously, you're not going to friend them. You're not going to want to even send them a message because they'll see that it's spam. That won't be very good for you in the long run. But what you can do is you can often see that you and they, especially if you have a lot of friends on Facebook, which is another reason to have a lot of friends when you have a lot of friends, is... that you can see that this and this person is a mutual friend. When you see someone that's a mutual friend, even though it didn't come up on LinkedIn, you now know someone who knows the person you need, which again is already taking something from being a random stranger to someone that knows them, putting in a good word. So simply by doing a search on Facebook to see if that person and you know anyone in common is extremely helpful. The next thing you want to do is you want to go into Facebook, and if you see, for example, they like a certain industry publication, you want to click like on that same industry publication. And then when that industry publication puts something as a status update on Facebook or a link, you want to read it and you want to comment intelligently on it, because what you're doing is you're getting yourself seen by the people that in that industry, the people in that target group. The next thing you want to do besides write something interesting is you want to like the comments of the people that are responding there. You don't have to like every comment. Before you like the comment, if the comment is good, assuming, and very rarely if it's not, you want to click on the person's name to see who they are, what they do, and then click like, because people, just like authors on Amazon, people like to see, when someone clicks like on something I wrote, I'm like, whoa, you know, who's that? Let me check them out.
Right.
And essentially, you can get them to find out about you, and then even if they never reach out to you and your resume comes in, your name rings a bell, they know you've got rapport with them, and they're much more likely to consider you over somebody else.
Cool. Okay. So yeah, so again, I mean, these are more ideas about, yeah, how to, like you said, how to build rapport, how to connect with people, how to reinforce a link before it's needed in a way.
I read this somewhere, maybe even on your blog. It's who you, it's what you know that gets you the job, and it's who you are that costs you the job.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I don't know if that was I don't remember where I've seen something similar to that also.
So,
Okay.
you know, so
Okay.
essentially, it's when you want to get the job. We're not talking about when you, once you're in the job, how to keep the job, which obviously is a very important point. But as far as job searches are concerned, since ultimately they don't know you, they're going based on what they see about you. And especially when they get a personal recommendation or something they have rapport with, they feel like they know you at some level, which makes it much makes you much more comfortable. Because don't, let's not forget, no resume comes in saying I'm a terrible guy. Every resume says the you know the greatest things. And by the way, again jumping off into a related topic, if you say I solve any computer problem, nobody believes that. As soon as you change that and add a negative by saying I can solve almost any computer problem, suddenly it's amazing.
It's more
It's more
credible.
credible, exactly.
Yeah.
So therefore, when you make a resume and people make these resumes that make them seem like the perfect paragon of perfection, they're really doing themselves a disservice because who are we kidding? Nobody's perfect. So you
Yeah.
want to add some.
It's too pie in the
Right.
sky.
So what that means is that every time you want to buy something, whether from a television infomercial or you want to buy something in a store, you want to feel like an intelligent individual. And therefore, before you buy it, you think to yourself, why wouldn't I buy it? Why would I buy it? And you try to come up with what's called objections. You try to come up with reasons not to buy it. So, for example, if you think the shoe maybe is a little too tight, then you have that objection. You ask the shoe, the you know the shoe sales guy. He says, no, it's fine. You know, I'll put in a tongue pad. It'll be fine. You know, whatever. Too loose. Put in a tongue pad. It'll be fine. I'll stretch it. It'll be better. So what happened is you feel like you've made a conscious decision on your own to buy these shoes. You weren't forced into it. You had an objection, like a normal, mature individual, and then once that objection was answered, you went to buy it. Okay? So therefore, every person that sends in a resume, you can assume, they can assume, the person reading this resume can assume you have some issues. If you don't speak in any way, in any form, that you have any issues, that means obviously you're not saying the whole picture of yourself, and that leaves it to their mind to wonder what might be the problem here. Okay? But for example, you know, and this is just an example. If somebody would say, you know, I was raised in an orphanage, assuming that's true, that says I didn't have a normal childhood, which is a negative and a positive, but at the same time, it shows you can overcome adversity, you can grow, you can, you know, essentially saying something negative about yourself, whether it's divorce, whether it's, I don't want to pick something specific, you know, I don't know something specific about an individual, but for example, I was in a motorcycle crash, you know, and so on and so forth. Even though information that's relevant, that doesn't hurt you as far as the job is concerned, but that shows you're a human being and not an angel, will be helpful to you, not the other way around.
Okay, because people will connect with it because they're also humans, basically.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Listen, I we've been on quite a while and it's been great. And I'm hesitant to stop, but we're basically running out of time. There's been so much information.
Okay, guys, listen, everybody listening, you have to email Jacob and you got to tell him to do this again because he's cutting me off. Look what's going on. All right, Jacob, thanks very, very much. My pleasure.
Listen, thank you, Isamar. I just want to make sure that people know how to get in touch with you and how they can find you. You mentioned your website already,
First
so that was
of all, everybody grab a pencil. Count to three. One, two, three. Good, you all have a pencil. Now, before I tell you my email address, what I want you to do is I want you to retweet and share this podcast because it's very important. You want to help as many people as you can. Now, my email address is IS as in Sam, S as in Sam, AMAR, that's my first name, Isamar, ISSAMAR, at Isamar, again, my first name, .com. ISSAMAR, at ISSAMAR.com. And I hope to hear from each and every one of you telling you how much you enjoy this and what you got out of it.
Terrific. Isamar, Rabbi Isamar, thank you very, very much for this. Again, so much information and in so little time, and but it's such a valuable call, and I'm sure that it's going to have a tremendous impact for so many people.
That's my goal.
So yes, people will share it and it'll help more and more people, even if they weren't listening on this call today. And well, looking forward to next time.
And tell all your friends, www.jobmob.co.il, because that is a good place to be.
Thanks a lot.
Jobmob.co.il. Thanks, Jacob. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks a lot, Isma. You too. Have a great day.